Good morning. What a blessing it is for us to be together this morning. This morning, take your New Testaments and turn to the Epistle of 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. It's a familiar passage to us and to you, I trust. But as I was thinking about this morning's lesson and the things that I wanted to present, I know my own personal study, reading and putting in context the passage, the first few passages we're going to look at, was greatly beneficial. As Peter is writing 2 Peter, you'll notice that as you go through the chapter that it's very apparent that he realizes that he stands at the threshold between this life and his promised home in heaven. And so it's a very touching epistle as we consider that he has that on his mind, but that he also has his brothers and sisters in Christ on his mind as well. 2 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you throughout the knowledge of God and our Savior Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. So many important admonitions are given to us by Peter in those few sentences. So important to each and every one of you, but as I was looking at that and looking at other places in the scriptures, the little word always popped out to me. And you'll notice that here, Peter emphasizes the fact that we are to always remember truth. Again, 2 Peter 1 and verse 12 says, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you are established in the present truth. So Peter says, I know that you know the truth. I know that you are established in the present truth. But it's important to be reminded of the present truth. Always. Not just from time to time, but always. Again, in verse 15, he says, "Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." These things, I think, contextually here, that certainly the things that we have noticed from verse 1 up to this present time are certainly on his mind. But there are other things that he'll bring into view as well. And of course, as you continue to read 2 Peter, you'll notice that what is at the forefront of his thoughts and his concerns are false teachers that have went out into the world. Who will do what? Who will try to twist the truth, change the truth? And when you twist it and change it, it's no longer the truth. When we add to the Word of God or take away from the Word of God, when you modify the Word of God, and although God's Word is truth, you change it in any way, it's not truth any longer. Peter was very aware of the danger that Christians faced in the first century and really every generation that has lived since then. So we need to always be in remembrance of these things. We ought to always pray. No one emphasized that more than Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, our Savior. In fact, in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, we read, "He spoke a parable to them that men ought always pray and not lose heart." The subject matter of Luke changes abruptly. He's been talking about some things. Luke's been covering some things. And now, all of a sudden, Luke says, Jesus taught us a parable to the end that the reason that he taught us the parable is that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. The parable was about a widow who went before the judge of her city. She had a complaint, and it seems like he didn't hear her the first time or the second time. I don't know. He didn't want to be bothered with her, I guess. But she kept coming back. Kept coming back. And finally, the judge says, "Oh, it'd be quicker just to listen to what she has to say and give her what she needs than for her to keep coming back." Now, Jesus didn't tell us that parable to say that God is like that judge who's tired of listening to us. And that wasn't the point. The point was for us. He said, you need to be like this widow woman who was seeking justice. And she was persistent. And you need to be persistent in prayer. We don't know what God knows. We don't know why we go through some of the trials and tribulations that we do. We don't know what good is going to come out of it. You know, that's one of the things that has always impressed me, especially from the Old Testament, is that it seems that whenever God's people or one of God's people is struck down by evil and those who have evil intentions and so forth, and it looks like, well, it can't get any worse than this, that God always takes that situation and turns it around for good. We don't know what the trials that we're facing in our life, how God is going to use that for good. You think about Joseph and all of the different trials and tribulations that he went through, from the time that he was kind of like the favorite son and the jealousy of his brothers, and then being sold into slavery and all of the tribulations that he faced. And you think, what was going through his mind that whole time? I mean, for much of his young life and his young adult life. And yet, you know, as you might look at that from a carnal perspective, and you think about what was going through his mind all of the time, when we look at the revelation of Joseph's life, we know what was going through his mind all of the time. He knew that God was with him. He knew that he was always going to do what was right. He was going to try to show others God and the power of God whenever he had the opportunity. He lived for God. That's what we need to be doing. All the time. Regardless of our situation. Men ought always pray and not lose heart. When you pray and pray and pray and you think you're not seeing the answer to your prayer, don't lose heart. Keep praying. Sometimes we need to pray, help me to see the purpose of this trial, this tribulation, this hardship, this difficulty. Help me to honor you and glorify you and always be faithful as I remember your truth always. May I always be practicing your truth. In Luke 21 and verse 36, Jesus talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, and he's preparing those people and that generation for that. Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. He says, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may not be counted that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Pray that you might be able to escape Jerusalem and the destruction that will come. But even if you don't, pray knowing that you're going to stand before the Son of Man. That your home is not in Jerusalem. Your home is not here on earth. Your citizenship is in heaven. In Ephesians 5 and verse 20, it says, "Give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name or by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ." Give thanks always for all things. Yes, give thanks to God for all of our blessings and try to enumerate your blessings. Be mindful of your blessings and enumerate them. But he didn't say, give thanks for your blessings. He said, give thanks for all things. Give thanks for your trials and your tribulations. Give thanks for your challenges. Give thanks for your faithfulness and that God leads you through his word to be faithful. Give thanks for all things. Men ought always to pray. Ephesians 6 and verse 18, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end." Now, to put this in context, this is Ephesians chapter 6. This is the end of the Ephesian letter. Remember, one of the major subjects that he talked about in Ephesians chapter 6 at the end of the letter, put on the whole armor of God. But before he said put on the whole armor of God, he talked about an attitude of mind. Stand against the strategies of Satan. Stand against sadness. Stand against political oppression. Stand against depression. Stand against your frustration. Stand against your impatience. Stand against the strategies of Satan. Put on the whole armor of God. Pray always with all prayer and supplication. You know, once we know the truth, are established in the truth, always reminded of the truth, and we are putting on the whole armor of God, Don't forget your training in how to use it. Pray always, with all prayer and supplication, being watchful to this end, standing against the strategies of Satan, with all perseverance, continuing, and supplication for all saints. Now, that's the second time that word supplication is used in this verse. Pray with all prayer and supplication. What is a supplication? Well, supplication is kind of intensified form of prayer. It's not a passing prayer. It's a prayer that you are intensely presenting your thoughts and your concerns before God. You want them to be as important to God as they are to you. That the subject that you are presenting to God is an extremely important subject. Stand against the strategies of Satan. That's extremely important. You go into battle on the battlefield of Satan every day. The thoughts of your mind, the temptations that you face, your old habits, your ingrained character, I guess you might say. And that's constantly being challenged by the instruction from God's Word. God shows us, as looking in a mirror, who we are. Do we make the corrections? Or do we walk away and forget what we saw? Pray always with all prayer and supplication. And don't forget your brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, pray in supplication for all the saints. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And that reminds me that just before I left for to come to the building this morning, received an email from Charles and Betty Plemons that they're not feeling well this morning. I don't think it's anything serious, but in light of present circumstances, thought it best probably to stay at home. And you know, that's where we're all at right now. And I think we all are aware of that, that if we're not feeling quite right, then it's probably best that we not gather in a group of people. And by doing so, you know, that's why we wear masks and coming in and going out, that it'll, you know, I do not think that masks are 100% effective in preventing you catching the coronavirus. I believe that's been proven. Did you see the news story? It was either earlier this week or at the end of last week, where elderly couple, the wife had caught the coronavirus. She was in a nursing facility. Her end was near, and her husband insisted that he be with her at her end of life. And there's a new story, him talking to her, and she wasn't very coherent and so forth. Well, he was in total PPE, total personal protection. Had on a gown, had on two masks. He caught the virus and died a week or two later. Masks are not 100%. Will they slow things down? Yeah, I think they'll slow things down. But we do the best we can with what we have. I'm going to go off on another tangent here if I'm not careful. But we need to do what we can to protect each other. So be mindful of that. You know, that if you're sick or you've been exposed to people that are sick, then, you know, isolate yourself for a little while. Try to prevent others from getting sick. Pray always with all prayer and supplication. A supplication for all saints in consideration not only of yourself but of others also. And, of course, Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 just summed it up, pray without ceasing. That's another way to say pray always. And I said, well, how can you pray always? How can you pray without ceasing? How can you always be praying? You're always in mind of the fact that you live in the presence of God, that He sees and hears what you say and what you do, your intentions. All of that, in consideration of that, is praying always. And I think you see that in the life of Jesus, that certainly it's recorded that many times He went off to pray, or He prayed with His apostles and so forth. But when He was asked a question, why do you do this? Why do you do that? He's always saying, I do these things to honor and to glorify my Father. He was always praying, if you will. He was always in communication with His Father. And we are instructed to do the same. We are to obey always. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, he says, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed. You know, it's not enough just to know the truth and be established in the truth and be reminded of the truth and to pray always that you might be practicing the truth. We need to obey the truth. As you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear, with reverence for God, and trembling. The word trembling there is I don't know if it's one way you can define the word, but it's a result of what's going on, that you're excited with excitement. It's like a, you know, when you get a rush of adrenaline through your system, and it's a big rush, you're trembling. You're excited. That's what, work out your salvation fervently, excitedly, reverently for God. Are there emotions involved with being a Christian? Absolutely there are. We should get excited when we realize that Almighty God is speaking to us through His Word and instructing us, that He's never leave us or forsake us. Work out. Believe it or not, there are people in religious circles that say, you don't have to work anything. Well, they're not reading the Bible. Over and over and over it says, work out. Faith without works is dead. Alone. It's of no benefit. Work out your salvation. That's not the salvation that you come up with. It's salvation that's established and founded and based in and pays attention to the specifics of God's truth. Always remembers it. Always prays to be found in it, always obeys it. Work out your salvation with reverence for God and with excitedness, with trembling. John 8 and verse 29 says, He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me. I always do those things that please Him. There's one of those statements. Pray without ceasing. I always do those things that please my Father. Hebrews 5 and verses 8 and 9 says, though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Not all who merely believe in Him, not all who merely acknowledge Him, but all who obey Him. Do you obey Him in all things? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58 says, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Not always thinking about the work of the Lord, not always remembering the work of the Lord, but always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's work to do, and we need to be abounding in it. That's not just in assemblies such as this, where we come together to worship God with one another. It's not just in a Bible study that you might have in your home or in the building here. The work of the Lord is involved with your relationship with your wife, with your husband, with your children, with your parents, with your conduct at home, with your conduct in the workplace, whether you're an employer or an employee. Always abounding in the work of the Lord involves with in how you treat others on the road when you're driving. How you treat others in the marketplace. In any interaction with others. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. But certainly, when assembly is scheduled for worship to God with brothers and sisters in Christ, and you are able to assemble, you need to ask yourself an honest question. Am I abounding in the work of the Lord when I simply choose to stay home? I could assemble, but I choose to stay home. We've been making our assemblies available on Facebook Live, and I believe that's a good thing for those who, like the Plemons this morning, like Lori Rich and Sherry that we mentioned this morning, others who are not able to assemble with us. But these are not presented as a convenience for those who are able and choose to stay home. Say, well, I participated, I heard everything, I engaged in the prayers and the Lord's Supper and the lesson and all of that. I engaged in it. Did you edify your brothers and sisters in Christ? Did you even make it known that you were watching so that your brothers and sisters in Christ could have at least that degree of fellowship with you? Always abound in the work of the Lord. Always be ready to give a defense. Again, you go back to Peter here in the first letter of Peter in chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, sanctify, set apart for a holy purpose. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. Always be ready to give a defense. You know, if we are always remembering the truth and we are praying without ceasing, always praying, if we are always obeying God, we certainly know why we are obeying Him. All of that prepares us to be ready to give a defense to others who ask us for the reason of the hope of eternal life that Peter had and you and I have. Be ready to share the good news of salvation and a wonderful life that's devoted to honoring and serving God with others. Jesus is always with His people. Remember what He said to the apostles in Matthew 28 and verse 20? He says, teach them He said, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There isn't a period, there's a comma after always. There wasn't any punctuation in the original text, but it's a comma, not a period. He wasn't saying to the apostles, I am with you always. But when he said, even to the end of the age, he's saying, I'm with all those who continue in all things whatsoever I command. I'm with them too. Even to the end of the age. That's this age. The age from the time of Christ till now until the end when he comes again. He is with us always when we continue in all things whatsoever he has commanded. Hebrews 13, the Hebrew writer, verses 5 and 6 reminds us of this. He says, let your conduct, let your manner of life be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Who did he say that to? Well, he said it to Moses. He said it to Joseph. He said it to several individuals in the Old Testament. He said it to the apostles. And he said it to us there in Matthew chapter 28. Even to the end of the age. I will never leave you or forsake you. So we may boldly, we may with confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. God's people are always sufficiently supplied. That's one thing that's been impressive to me in my life, is that this promise of God is always kept. That when I see something that needs to be done, when I say, I don't have the resources to do it, that the resources show up sufficiently, maybe usually a little bit more than sufficiently. But 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8 says, God is always able to make all grace, all favor abound towards you, always having all sufficiency in all things. May have an abundance for every good work. If it's a good work, where do you find it? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17? In the Scriptures. If it's a good work that we are to abound in, if it's a good work that is in line with the truth of God's Word, God is going to see to it that we are going to have all sufficiency in all things, that we may have an abundance for every good work. And so that's why I get upset with myself sometimes. It's why I get upset with my brethren sometimes. When I say, well, we can't do that because... And I turn to passages such like as this and say, you can do it because God will supply all sufficiency in all things with abundance. We have to have a mind to work. We have a mind to obey. Not just to learn, but to obey. Not just to know that we need to teach our children, but to teach our children. Not just to know that we are to love our spouse, but to love our spouse. Not just to know that we are to put others before self, but to put others before self. And especially the will of God. Matthew 6 and verse 33, of course, Jesus stated it here, seek first, prioritize things. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And these things, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Where are we going to live? These things will be added to you. What am I going to eat? Where am I going to live? What am I going to wear? That's not my first priority. That's not my first concern. How am I going to pay the bills? That's not my first concern. My first concern is the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And God will take care of the rest. I've seen that. I'm sure many of you have seen that as well in your lives. God's people always triumph. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." Think about that when you're like that widow that Jesus used in the parable. Men ought always to pray and not faint. When it looks like, I don't know if God's hearing my prayer. He's hearing it. When it looks like you're not going to be able to continue, God has faith in you that you're going to be able to continue. When it looks like you're unprepared, God has faith that you are prepared to give an answer. God always leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Have you all got one of those diffusers someplace in your house? Debbie had one going a couple weeks ago that it smelled like cinnamon rolls. And I had smelled this. Are you making cinnamon? Are you baking something? No, I got this diffuser going. I said, turn it off. That's cruel punishment. Isn't that such a beautiful statement, though? Through us, He diffuses His knowledge in every place. Through us, He diffuses His knowledge in your marriage, in your parenting, in your congregation, in the workplace, in the marketplace. Through us. Think about that. The next time you get frustrated with your fellow man in whatever situation you are in, remember, it's your place to diffuse the knowledge of God. And God always leads us to triumph in Christ. Always. It's a little word, but it's a pretty definite word. It's not most of the time. It's not the majority of the time. It's not probably always. So we need to always remember the truth. Always pray and not faint. Always obey what we know to be true and what we're praying about that we might do. We need to always obey that. And be abounding in the Lord's work, ready to give a defense to anyone who asks us the reason for the hope that we have of eternal life. Always, Jesus is with His people, sufficiently supplying them in abundance, always leading us to victory. If you're here today, and you haven't put on Christ in your life and living for Him, you need to make things right with Him. You're ready to respond to the gospel of Christ and be baptized for the remission of your sins. We're ready to assist you in that. If you're here today as a child of God, you know you're out of favor with God. James tells us to confess our faults to one another, pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If we can assist you in any way this morning, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?